Good deal. Well, I feel like I'm at a little bit of an advantage tonight because this morning was absolutely phenomenal. I don't see Brother Stan, but that was real good. So I feel like everyone's cup should be filled if you were here this morning. If not, check your pulse because it was phenomenal. It was great, and so I'm thankful for this morning. I'm also thankful just for a church that preaches the Bible. You know, whether it's, you know, Brother Jordan doing Sunday school, Brother Stan doing home builders, Brother Jason doing the teen class, or, you know, Brother Gary Wednesday night. The thing I love about this church is anytime one of you guys are up here, the Bible's preached. And it's a blessing because that's what we need. We need the Bible. That's what's going to change people. You can have a strong opinion about something, but that's not going to do anything for me. I need the Bible. You need the Bible. And so I'm just super thankful to, you know, be here. Even when Pastor Garcia is gone, we still get good Bible preaching. And that's a blessing. And it's also a good thing that we're not the only ones in this area that do preach the Bible. Praise the Lord for Bible-believing churches and people who still stick to the Word of God. So I have a joke. I'm going to read it because I didn't really like study it before. I was like looking on online, and I found this website. I'm not going to share my website because then you guys are going to see my jokes. But there was like a list of them, and so I think I found a good one. But it says, after a very long and boring sermon, the congregation emptied out of the church, saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermons. Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God. The pastor was thrilled. No one has ever said anything like that about my preaching before. Tell me why, he said. And she responded. She said, well, it reminds me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever. So I think we've all been in some of those, and we just praise the Lord for those. And I tend to not go very long, but maybe it passes understanding. I don't know. I hope not. I hope it makes sense. But tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to talk about something that I believe is very applicable to every single person in this room. Whether you're young, a young person, or whether you're a young old person, as I've heard a pastor say it, there's something here tonight for everybody. And I think we don't have to look very far to realize that we live in a pretty dark world nowadays, a pretty dark society. I think we've seen sin just do a number on our government, our school, our families. We've seen it destroy good relationships. We've seen it destroy good churches. We have seen a real negative impact of sin. And I think it's fair to say that it's pretty dark out there. We don't have to look very far to see that it's dark. And so tonight, I want to talk about being a light. The title of my message is, Ye Are the Light. And so I have three things out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. That I want to take a look at. But before I get there, I just want to say thank you, guys. I've had a lot of people tell me they've been praying for me for my new job. I've been at my new job for, this is the start of my sixth week at Bill's Heating and Air. I've had lots of you come up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And I really do appreciate your prayers because I can tell that the Lord has really just blessed me and my testimony at Bill's. And if anyone's worked in construction, you understand that some of the guys that you work with aren't so happy and joyous, and just there, you can work with some foul individuals, to say the least. And I've been on the side. When I first got saved, I worked in HVAC, and I was actually one of those foul individuals. And so now coming to this side and having a testimony at work is a big deal to me, and I just want to share a little bit with that. And I'm doing a ride-along period to train. They send me with another tech, so I know the Bill's way, so I know what's going on. You know, that way I don't go to someone's house and, you know, blow up the furnace or something, because that would be a bad deal for me and the company. But so I'm going with these ride-alongs, and I've been blessed. The Lord's helped me just to be able to preach the gospel to every single one of them. Two of them were believers, but I've been able to give the gospel to every single person I've rode along with. And I've been riding along with this one guy a little more than that, and he, let's just say he was telling somebody else, he's like, I have to be careful what I say and what I listen to, because I want to be respectful, but he's just like super Christian. That's awesome. That's cool. I've never had anybody say that about me. I'm like, okay, you know, praise the Lord for that. And then, I was riding with that guy again on Saturday, and he called one of his buddies, and they kind of sent us all over the place. We went to St. John's, Washington, which I didn't even know that was the place. It's like an hour away, and there's nothing out there, literally nothing out there. But we were out there, and so he was calling his buddy on the speakerphone in the truck so I could hear it. And like, he was just kind of, come, you know, not necessarily complaining, but telling the day, hey, we got to go Post Falls, St. John's, back to Spokane. We did a water heater diagnosis on a Chili's in Spokane. That was cool, but I don't know why that matters. But we were able to just, like, you know, drive together, and he's on the phone with one of his friends, and, you know, he's like, well, at least you got Jesus with you today. And he's like, sorry, I couldn't resist, because he knew that I was with him. And I think he did that as like a little bit of a dig, but I was like, hey, that's awesome. Like, yeah. Praise the Lord. Like, you know, it makes me think of, you know, the believers in Antioch when it says they were first called Christians at Antioch, and it was kind of like a snide comment. It's kind of like a jab, and they're like, hey, that's actually pretty cool. I like that, you know? And so I just praise the Lord. You know, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. I don't want to say anything that I'm doing at all, but it's just your guys' prayers and just the Lord helping me. I'm super thankful for that. And that's kind of where this message struck, because I was talking to one man. He was a believer, and we were talking about how, you know, we can be in some pretty ungodly places in life. And I always said something Pastor Michael would say is, the darker the place, the brighter the light. And I kind of meditated on that thought, and I was like, I felt like that's what the Lord would have me to preach tonight, is on being the light. Amen. So we're going to read Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into this. But Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and to be in your house. Lord, thank you just for the nice weather we've been having, God, and just thank you for the sun, Lord, and just that's good stuff, Lord, and I just pray that you'll be with me tonight, Lord, as I bring this message. God, get me out of your way. Lord, help me to be slow in my speech, Lord, to be clear in what my points are, Lord, and that you would just be present here tonight. Lord, we invite you here. God, we pray if anybody's not saved tonight, that tonight would be the night of salvation for them. Lord, I love you. I thank you for how good you are to me, Lord, and just all that you've done in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the first thing that we need to notice is Christ says, ye are the light. So if we are the light, it's important that we stay in the light. We have to stay in the light as believers. Having darkness in your life will dim your light. Christian, tonight, if you're allowing sin in your life, if you're allowing these things in your life, bitterness, whatever it may be, in your life, that will start to dim your life. And it might not start off as something super big and super drastic, and maybe it's just this little bit of whatever conviction the Lord's been dealing with that you've been pushing off. Maybe it's what you watch, what you listen to. I don't know. I don't want to be the Holy Spirit in anybody's life, but the Lord convicts us as we go through our lives. And sometimes we can just kind of ignore that conviction, and that darkness can start to creep in if we're not careful. And when that darkness creeps in, our light will dim. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we're going to look at a few things on the dangers of darkness in our lives, the dangers of darkness in our lives. I remember just so 2 weeks ago, I was out in the welcome booth, and, you know, I was standing by the sign-up sheet, and it was a Sunday morning, and everyone was in the foyer before service, and I bumped the light switch, and the lights went off, and everybody went silent and was looking around, right? Because the church is supposed to be a place of light. We're people here. There's supposed to be light. So when there's darkness, it makes you think, what's going on? Why is the lights turning off when we're having church? But believer, the same is true for you and I. We are to have the light. We are to show the light. And when that light switch gets flipped for whatever reason, it should instantly make us stop and kind of evaluate and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on here? Why is the light turned off where there's supposed to be light? So we're going to look at the dangers of darkness, and we understand here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 that Paul is writing. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to believers. He's not writing to lost people in this passage of Scripture, but specifically to believers at the church of Corinth. So again, this applies to us very, very importantly. But we're going to read verses 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4. Verse number 1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and division, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? The first danger about darkness is that darkness destroys our spiritual growth. As believers, you're either growing or you're shrinking. We know the song, we've been singing since we were kids, but read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Forget your Bible, neglect to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Right? And we sing that, and it's like, yeah, that's super lighthearted and fun, but then in our lives, we will not read our Bible. We will neglect to pray, but then we'll put on the face that, oh, we're still growing. We got to be careful that this darkness doesn't affect our spiritual growth. Paul wasn't able to feed these believers with meat because they couldn't take it. It says that you were carnal. They were more worried about their envying and their strife and their divisions than they were about what the Word of God actually had to say. And maybe tonight you say, well, I don't have envying, strife, or division, so I'm good. But are ye carnal? Have you noticed a sense of carnality in your life? Maybe it's your attitude when you got to go to work. You can have a carnal attitude when it comes to church. I'm allowed to say this because I'm not married, so a carnal attitude about your marriage, right? And see, I can't get in trouble. I can say whatever I want. But if you have a carnal attitude about certain things in your life, that carnality will affect your spiritual growth. We got to be careful that we're not allowing that carnality. And Paul says, are you not carnal at the end of verse 4? So my question for you tonight is, are you not carnal? If you desire to mature as a believer, if you desire to be closer to the Lord and to just mature in your Christianity, you have to remove your carnality. It can't coincide. You can't be a carnal Christian and grow in the Lord. If you want to grow in the Lord, you got to ditch your carnality. And we understand as believers that we're going to fail, right? Is there 100% of the time we're never going to be carnal? Probably not. But that's not an excuse to be carnal. We ought to keep striving. We ought to keep putting one foot forward. The next thing we also notice here in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says, for all one saith, I am of Paul, and the other, I am of Apollos. We notice, so we see that darkness, it's going to destroy your spiritual growth, but darkness is also going to diminish the believer's identity in Christ. As we read Corinthians, we see all the time that Paul is trying to preach the gospel to lost people, to turn them to Christ, and they're so worried about the man of God that they ignore the God of man. And I think it's easy in our cultures where if we're in good with the man of God, then that means we're in good standing with God. But there's a strong difference between the two. Now, obviously, the Bible talks about godly influence. You should have godly influence. You should be around godly man, godly woman, whatever it may be, but that doesn't mean that you're right with God because all your friends are godly. Does that make sense? We got to be careful that we understand who we're looking at. And I praise the Lord for good godly men over my life. I think of Pastor DeMichael or Rick Sowell or Mike Wolski, to name a few. But that's not what makes me right with God because I'm in good standing with those men. We have to be careful about that. But we also have to make sure that we know our identity in Christ. That's a hard thing for me to grasp, my identity in Christ. Christ sees you as one of his children. I get in this mindset that, if I sin or if I'm carnal, I fail, that I got to work my way back to God and God's got to do it. God doesn't see me that way. I'm a believer. I'm his child. Amen. He's waiting for me, just like the prodigal son when he comes home, the dad's waiting for him on the porch. That's God with us. He's waiting for us. He doesn't see us as a castaway or whatever. God sees you as his child. And when you can understand that, that should encourage you and that should be able to get you through trials. And that's why it's so important that the darkness will ruin your identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ is what helps us get victory over sin. How many here have tried to get sin out of their life on their own? I know I have. Cool, so a few of us. But does it work very good when you do it on your own? Never works very good, does it? We need to realize who we are in Christ. And that was Paul's whole goal, was to convert people from the ideas of man to God. And they struggled with that for so long. And I think it's in 1 Corinthians 2, just one page over for me. The whole last passage, I think it's verses 11 through 16, Paul is talking about how the natural man's not going to understand the spiritual things. He's not going to get it. And that's the case, is we want these lost people to understand all these spiritual things, but we have to be the light. We have to point them to God so that way they can see these spiritual things. The Word of God says there's a veil over the eyes of the unbeliever. We have to do our part to remove that veil. We understand, as Brother Stan said this morning, that it was Paul and Apollos that did the sowing and the watering, but it was the Lord who gave the increase. So my question for you tonight is, where are you watering? Where are you sowing? Can the Lord work an increase in anyone's life through you? We have to do our part, but as Brother Stan said, it's the Lord who does the increase. All right, now we're going to jump to John 3. Sorry, I'm a little all over the place tonight with my references. We're going to be in John chapter 3, and we're going to look at the last danger of darkness. So we saw that the darkness is going to destroy your spiritual growth. We see that darkness is going to diminish the believer's identity in Christ, but the most tragic one is that darkness is going to delay salvation. In John chapter 3, verses number 19, we're going to read verses 19 through 21. The word of God says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. We understand here that's Jesus Christ, light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. Man will resist the Savior simply because they love their dark lifestyle. They're so desperately looking for freedom that they just get further and further and further in the darkness. But the freedom they're looking for is found in the light. It's a sad thing to see someone deny salvation, and when they can admit that, yes, I believe there is a God. Yes, I know I'm a sinner, but they don't ever go there. And you wonder, why in the world are they not going there? Well, because if God's real and I have to repent of my sins to be saved, then that means that, like, I have to know that I can't drink anymore. I'm not allowed to swear like I used to. I'm not allowed to do the things. I'm not allowed to have this lifestyle. So it's easier for me to say, hey, God's not real, so that way I can live in this lifestyle and just live a miserable lifestyle just because they don't know what they're missing out. And that's our part as believers, is we're to show them the light. As a Christian, let's have joy. You know, like, you ever see some Christians, they're walking around and it's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And it's like, oh, don't say you're a Christian. Like, please, like, like, I'm trying to witness to this guy and you're going to ruin my chances. Like, come on, like, don't say that. But we should have joy as a Christian. We should be the light. You should be a joyful Christian. How are you doing tonight? As you open up your life before the Lord, do you see the darkness starting to creep in? I can't answer that for you. You guys all look like you have no darkness at all. Everyone looks full of light tonight. I praise the Lord for that. But between you and the Lord, is there darkness starting to seep in? Have you maybe just kind of started dropping the ball? It's kind of easy to get content and just kind of, whatever. It's not as important as it used to be. But when the Lord convicts, are we listening constantly? Are we constantly growing? Pastor Garcia just preached on faith, and he was talking about faith, and he says, you should always be growing in your faith. And I'm going to ask that same question tonight. When you look at your faith, is your faith always growing? Or is there something that's stopping it from growing? Just as I flipped that light switch, and it alarmed everybody, and everyone was like, whoa, what's going on? That's my charge for you tonight. If you notice that darkness, that light switch has been flipped, tonight is a night to turn that light switch back on and start shining your light. We so desperately want revival in America today. We say, I just want to see people turn from their wicked ways and serve the Lord and all this kind of stuff. But then when it comes to our life, when we have to turn from our wicked ways, we don't do it. But I want them to do it because they're not saved. But I'm saved, so I can just live in my darkness. You see the issue there? It's inconsistent. The desire of the revival we want starts in our own lives. If you want revival, it starts today with you. It starts in getting your word. It starts in praying. It starts in getting rid of the things that God has clearly said he does not want you to do. That's a big thing. We have to realize that we must stay in the light. So that first point was we are to stay in the light. But the second thing I want to bring up is that we are to shine the light. So we got to go back to Matthew 5. And I believe I'm in Matthew 5 for the rest of this, I think. I say that and then that's not always the case. But Matthew 5. We making sense tonight? Am I talking slow enough? Everyone good? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so Matthew 5, we're going to just start in verse number 14 again, because it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And I'm going to stop there. We notice that ye are the light of the world. And I ask for a little bit of liberty tonight, and obviously I'm glad we're in church. If you ask me, I think you should be in church every time the doors are open. But that's not going to be my sermon tonight. I'm not going to hound you too bad because you guys are here, so we're going to let that pass. We'll save that for the people on Livestream Land or people who aren't here. No, I'm just playing. No. But we need to come to church. Church is the place where our light gets recharged. There's been times where, if I'm just being transparent, I kind of dread coming to church. I'm like, oh, man, I don't really want to go. Like, I'd rather sleep in, right? And then I go, and I'm so encouraged. I'm so blessed. And that's just the way the Lord works. And our flesh is always going to fight that. But that's how we recharge our light. We go out in the world and we shine the light. And I don't know about you, but by the time Wednesday hits, my light's pretty much drained. And then I go to Awana and have to deal with kids screaming and not listening to me. And that just fills my light up. Praise the Lord. Like, I'm excited. Let's do this thing. No, but it's a blessing. You see kids getting saved. You see kids in a safe place. You see kids that they can let their guard down where Christ is magnified. That's a wonderful thing. That charges my light. And as you take that on Wednesday night, Then you go through the rest of the week. And then by Sunday, guess what? I need it more. I need my light recharged again. I need more. And I think a lot of my problem of not wanting to go to church would change if I looked to get my light recharged as opposed to a habit. I make it more of, oh, I have to be there because I'm on staff at Cornerstone. I'm just being real tonight. I have to be there because I'm on staff. And if I'm not there, it's like, oh, I can't lie or, you know, I can't fake sick or anything. Like, I'm obligated. And I guess there's a good thing about that, but I should be going because I want my light recharged. I should be going looking for something. Because truthfully, Christians, tonight, if we're not looking for something as the word of God is being preached, we're not looking for ways to grow in God, it's a waste of time. I hate to say it like that, but that's the way I see it if we're not seeking the Lord. We ought to be looking to get our light recharged. We want to make sure that as we're a light in the world, we're the same light here. You know what I mean? Like, don't be someone here and then someone else when you leave those doors, right? And that's for everybody. No one's above that, ever falling short of that. We're all guilty of that, right? We're all guilty of, yeah, praise God, and you go out there and you're the Debbie Downer. You're the Eeyore of the week, right? Or, you know, the Lord worked on your heart about conviction. Yeah, I love this. I'm just going to be real tonight. I've had times in my life where the Lord's convicting me about music. Straight up in a message, the Lord's convicting me about music. I come to the altar, I get it right, I walk out, go to my truck, turn on the music. It's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Or like a movie or whatever, and then you do this thing where I'm like, wow, God's so good. I was praying for a message. He did directly what I wanted to do. I'm going to change my life around. 5 seconds later, I'm doing what I said I was going to stop doing. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, why? You know? But we're all guilty of it, right? Am I the only one? Okay, cool. I was like, man, maybe I was too real. No, we're all guilty of that, right? And why do we do that? Because sometimes it's just a habit. But we have to make sure, there's an impact on our life. And if we dim the light, it affects others. We have to keep that light shining. We're the light of the world. I encourage you to keep going if you are being a light. We have some tremendous soul winners in here. Absolutely tremendous. I get nervous to go door knocking with Brother Jordan or Pastor Garcia because they've memorized this entire book. It's wild. I'm just like, how? Like, that's amazing. But they love the Lord. We have a lot of soul winners here. I encourage you to keep going. Maybe you struggle, as myself, to witness. I would give that charge to shine that light a little bit more. One thing that I've started to realize is people are pretty vocal about their filthiness and their sin. You know, they'll go out and do just the most vilest thing on the weekend and come to work bragging about it. So brag about Jesus, right? That's a good thing to brag about, right? It's like, I don't want to hear what they're talking about. They don't want to hear what I'm talking about, but guess what? Here we go. We're going to let this thing rip. Brag about Jesus. Like, just shine that light. And it's so easy to say here, and you know, but then you get out there, and it's kind of like, ooh, you know. But I would encourage you, if you're struggling to be that light, let's get it out. Let's shine that light. The shirts are a great community, a great way to be a light. And I put the name on the back of the shirt so that when they go door to door and say, get off my property, they turn around and see it, and they go, ooh, maybe I should go there. No. Yeah. And of course. But we see also here that the Word of God says in verse number 14, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The light in our life cannot be hid. So my question for you is, who's being seen in your life? Whether it's at work or in public or in trials, who is being seen in your life? Is that light, which is obviously Jesus Christ, is he being hid in your life? He cannot be hid. He shouldn't be hid. But sometimes our old nature gets in the way, right, and tries to hide him and whatnot. But as we grow through life, any trials, any circumstances, the grocery store, who is seen in your life tonight? Do they see you or do they see Jesus? That's a big goal to reach. Do they see Jesus? That's a hard thing. Also, who are you sharing the light with? I think every Christian should have somebody that comes to mind on who you're actively trying to share the light with. And I don't mean that you're preaching the gospel every time you see them. We have a debt, as Paul says, to preach the gospel. We have that. Once you've done that, you can't just shove it down their throat. We get that. We've all preached the gospel to people, and they deny that, right? So what do you do? Can you just sit there and grab the Bible and shove it down their throat and say, no, you're going to accept? No, we can't do that. But the way you're actively pursuing somebody is, how are you living? When you get the opportunity to witness, do you step up in those little comments? Do you just give them that, hey, Jesus loves you, or, you know, a Bible verse or something that you heard? Or do we look for those? Are we actively pursuing somebody? And maybe you're discouraged, and you're saying, they're not going to come around. I would encourage you just to keep being that light. And I would suggest, if you don't have anybody, if I said that and you said, I don't have anybody that I'm working on, guess what? There's a whole community out here who needs Jesus. And if you say, well, Idaho is good, go to Spokane because they need Jesus. But there's a whole community that needs Jesus. So why don't we have people we're actively pursuing? I've been guilty of saying, yeah, but I think if you're going to lead someone to the Lord, you got to build a relationship with them. And then once you build a relationship with them, then you show them Jesus. But then I never actually build a relationship with people, right? I use that as a way not to witness. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, they don't know me. They're not going to. No, if that's the truth, you have to build a relationship. Then go build relationships with people. Show Jesus in your life. So what's holding you back from sharing the light? Well, obviously, the biggest thing is going to be sin. Sin's going to hold you back from sharing the light. Maybe tonight you say, Brother Aiden, I have sin in my life. I'm not going to go witness. Who am I to go witness? Well, you guys all know the verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. That's almost becoming my new favorite verse because I have to say it like a billion times a day. But that's your step. If you have sin in your life, confess your sin, leave it at the feet of Jesus, and go be a light. Too many times I confess my sin and I just hold on to it for way too long. I let it dim the light longer than it needs to be. Just, if that's the problem, then just get it out of your life and move on. Leave it in the past and go win someone to the Lord. Maybe it's shame, right? I think that's fair. We can be ashamed to preach the gospel. Maybe you have shame to preach the gospel. And in Ephesians 6:19, the Apostle Paul prayed for boldness to preach the mystery of the gospel. I think if Paul can preach for or pray for boldness, I think we could probably pray for some boldness. I know I myself could use some boldness when it comes to my witnessing efforts. So don't let sin and don't let shame stop you from being a witness. Also, we see here that it's easy to oftentimes let the darkness of the world discourage us from actually being a light. I can be guilty of complaining about the darkness to fellow believers more than actually getting the light out in the darkness. You know what I mean? Where I can say, man, do you see what's going on? This and this and this and this. And that's good, but we got to be careful that we're not discouraging people from sharing the light. Because when you sit there and dwell in darkness, it's discouraging. When you see what's going on in this world, it's literally discouraging. But don't dwell on that. We should use it to charge and go for God. I know so many times, you know, I just complain about it and complain about it and complain about it, but that doesn't solve anything. Go tell people about it. We have the solution. They're sick, we have the cure. Go tell people. You know, it's crazy that we just hold back. And in God and all of the sovereignty, right, we say, well, it's just so wicked here. God could have put you in any time place. He could have put you in any year. And God put us here in 2025 in northern Idaho. Why? To be a light. Not to complain about how wicked it is. Okay, and I'm not saying stop preaching sin. No, I think we should preach more sin. That's an issue in churches. We've stopped preaching sin. We've gotten away from the Word of God. Stand firm on the Word of God. Stand firm on sin. But be a light. And I'm preaching to myself tonight because this is, like I said, I needed this for when I started my new job. But be a light. Stop complaining about how dark it is out there and go do something for the Lord. Once you realize what the good news is, it's hard to not tell. You're telling me a worthless sinner who deserves nothing but hell gets in on eternity, and not only in eternity, but I can get rewards in eternity? Like, why, God? Because he loves us. That's exciting. We should tell everybody about that. Hey, the good news is you're doomed for eternity and you're a sinner and there's nothing you can do to change that except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's amazing. That's so amazing. And it's so simple and we complicate it in our minds so we cannot tell people. It's amazing when you understand the good news, what it does. But we see that we're to stay in the light. We see that we are to shine the light. But the reason we do that is so others will see the light. And obviously, we can look in verse number 15 and 16 here. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What this verse tells me is that they may see your good works. This tells me, Christian, that they're watching you. They're watching the way you react. They're watching what you post on social media. They're watching the way you handle trials. They're watching you because they want to see your good works. And we notice that they don't watch our good works for our glory. That's total wrong. That's the total wrong picture here. We see that they're doing it because to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the light we're to shine. The light is the Father. And we ought to be showing others the Father. Bro Stan's message talked about take you away the stone and see a miracle, God work a miracle in your life. And I was thinking on that this afternoon, and it made me think, what about the miracle we could see in some other people's life if we took away that stone? Maybe that stone is witnessing, it's just branching out. And think of the miracle God could work in somebody else's life, the work God could work in someone else's life if we do that uncomfortable thing. We do what we can do and let God do the rest. You weren't here when I gave you your thanks. That was phenomenal, by the way, Brother Sam. That was awesome. Like, I love that, and I'm going to steal that, but I can't preach that here, obviously. So, but I will be using that in the future somewhere else down the road. But that could be the stone. Maybe it's not to see the work in your life. Maybe it's to see the work in someone else's life, to see them turn to Jesus. And then it's all worth it. Oftentimes when I witness to people, and you guys have heard this too, they say, yeah, I don't really like religion. Religion's not my thing. And I always tell them, yeah, it's not mine either. Right. The religious people are the ones who killed Jesus. It was the scribes and the Pharisees, the one who were all religious, that killed Jesus. So I don't like religion either. And then they're kind of like, well, that's weird. What is this guy up to, you know? It's about, as true as it is, we've heard this a million times, but it's not about religion. It's about relationship, right. That close relationship. And as your relationship gets closer to Christ, he should just naturally pour over. He should naturally be seen. I remember talking to Miss Viona a few months ago, and she was talking about people call her a Jesus freak. And she's like, yeah, I'm a Jesus freak. We should all be Jesus freaks, right? Why don't we want to be Jesus freaks? Oh, because, I don't know, I'm weird. It's like, good. You're weird if you're not a Jesus freak. You know, everyone's weird. It's like, be weird for Jesus. Yeah, it's amazing. But I don't want others to see me as religious. I want others to see the Father through me. I want to strive to be godly and separate from this world, not in a self-righteous way, not because I'm better than anybody, but because I'm that close to God. My biggest prayer in my life is I want to be a godly man. And the steps you build today are what's going to get you there, or a godly woman, whatever it may be. But that doesn't happen overnight. The Lord will help you grow, but we have to get rid of that darkness. We have to strive. We have to be fighting. We have to be desiring to serve the Lord. And I don't want to just have it go unsaid, but you could be saved for 5 months or 50 years. It doesn't matter. It's the same is true for all of us. You could be saved from when you're 5 years old, and you could be 177. I don't think anyone here is that old. I hope not. But 177, right? And the same thing is true. If you allow darkness in your life, at any stage of life, the light will dim. I've said this before, but for our younger, older people, we look up to you guys. We really do. I know a lot of times the younger, older people will come up here and say, you're the next generation. We love seeing you guys serve the Lord, but I love seeing you guys serve the Lord. What blesses me is when I see somebody who has any amount of life experience, and life is hard, but they're still here all the time. That to me is what encourages me. So I would encourage you to keep going. Keep being a light. The younger generation that you want to stand up needs you guys to be the light, so we have an example. We have a few younger people here tonight, myself included, but let's be the light. Let's not be like our generation. We have no reason to be like our generation. We can stand out. The darker the place, the brighter the light. We have no excuse to not be a light. And what's the beauty of it all? Well, the beauty of it all is it doesn't matter if you can't talk in front of people. It doesn't matter if you're the funniest or the most entertaining. It doesn't matter if you're introverted or extroverted. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're popular or not. The only thing that matters is the way we live our lives and the words we say point people to Jesus. Amen. Tonight, does your life and your words point people to Jesus? Not in just the good times, not just at church, but how about when you're having like the worst week possible? Do your action, your words point people to Jesus? Are you being a light? I would encourage you again, stay in the light, shine the light, so that others may see the light. If I can have every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to take a few minutes to spend some time with God. And Morgan, you can start playing the piano as well. But maybe tonight you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. I would beg for you tonight to please come to the light. Turn from your darkness and accept Jesus into your heart. I would assume everybody's here. We know everybody here, but if you're not saved, if you've never gotten out of that darkness, turn to the light. Christian, maybe tonight you've allowed your light to be dimmed in your life. You have sins, you have these things in your life that is causing that light to be dimmed. Tonight, come get that right. Get that darkness out of your life and let that light shine. Maybe your witnessing efforts need week. Maybe it's or need work. Maybe it's not a big sin problem that's darkening your life, but maybe you just need boldness to step up and say something and to be a light in this dark world. Lastly, maybe just evaluate why you do the things you do. Has it become more for self-glory, or has it become to glorify your Father? However the Lord is going to lead with you tonight, whether it's at your seat or at the altar, take time to spend with God. I'm confident in this, that whatever it is, the Lord will help you. But whatever we do, let's go out this week and be a light in a dark world so that others may see Jesus.